You had enough church so far? I'll tell you, Friday night, I when I left here, I was floating. I mean, it was so good. Praise God, man. We had the gifts of the Spirit flowing. But the presence of God was just awesome in the worship and as we were praying in tongues. You know, if God says something, it's good now as it was then. And I was sitting in the back with Lori, and just we were praying in tongues for, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 minutes. And as clear as I ever saw anything in the Spirit, I saw a wooden door, and it just opened. And that scripture said, behold, I give before you an open door. Now, when you receive an open door, you got to go through it. Amen? So I believe that God is giving everyone an open door. You didn't have to be here Friday night, but God is giving you an open door. And look for those open doors, because there's something very special when God says something like that. And he speaks to us through his word. And he speaks to us, the Holy Spirit will give us dreams and visions and things like that. I'm not saying I had an open vision. It was just something that projected in my soul when I saw the inner eye. Amen. But praise God. If you every time you read the scripture, something collects, something clicks, and those are important. How many of you guys have ever just written down or journaled things that God has shown you? You really need to do that. I think one of the saddest days of my life was when I opened up my phone to my notes and like 2,400 of them were just missing. And what happened is I had a website on my business that has been slowly coming less and less active over the years. But the domain for that website was purchased by somebody else who was really holding me hostage and wanted all kinds of money for it. But my notes and everything was connected to that business account. And so I lost all those notes. And a lot of those were things that God was showing me. You know, high points in your faith. Something clicks for you. You see a revelation, or you just sense a peace, or an overwhelming sense of joy or something. Those things, you really need to journal those, because as you journal those and as you write them down, the Holy Spirit just starts to open it up for you and proliferate it for it to bring you the breadth and the depth and the length and the height of it, so that you can really get the meaning of it down in your spirit. These are things that go past your mind and into your spirit, man, and they give you enablements, empowerments, and it is a really cool thing. But we're talking this month about the amazing joy of the Lord, the wonderful joy of the Lord. Come on, guys, smile. You're supposed to have joy. what's he going to say next? But, oh, praise God. But these are the things, you write them down, and as you write, I'm telling you, it releases the Holy Spirit's ministries, and it brings you right into a presence where you know that Jesus is interceding for you, praying for you. He's your advocate, ready to bring your case before the Father. And when you have it all written out, he can go line by line. And as you read back over these things, you might notice patterns in these things. Those times when you did experience perfect peace. What happened before that? What led to that? Or that over-exuberance of joy that you had that led to a victory in your, or a breakthrough in your life. And write those things down. It's important. And here's the way it is. There was a time that the Lord showed me something. And I had an inkling to write, go ahead and write it down. But I didn't. And then, because I said, I can't forget that. There's a mid-range ring here, too. I can't forget that. And then, a day or two went by, and I said, and the Holy Spirit said, what was that? And I said, yeah, what was that? And the thought came to me, and it was the Holy Spirit saying, you need to think more of the things I give you and treasure them. Because if you don't think enough to write it down, you're not going to have it when you need it. I mean, he's not doing it in a condemning way. He doesn't condemn you. But he says, look, you missed it here. You need to do this so that you'll be ready. It's very, very important to write these things down. If you go through the, if you go and meditate on the Word of God, this is so important. You know, James, in understanding you, as far as the new creation goes, as far as understanding, what does that mean, a new creation? Well, there are empowerments in you. There are gifts in you. There is fruit in you that God wants to propagate. God wants to get that out of you and into this world so that they can see the same thing you did. Jesus is Lord. I'm going to say this. This is like a parenthesis here. The Old Testament, see, John the Baptist preached as a prophet under the Old Testament, right? And what was the confession when the Jews came to him in repentance? He preached the gospel of repentance. What did they do? They came confessing their sins. Right? Under the New Testament, you know what the confession of the believer is? Good. But in Romans chapter 10, it's the confession of the believer in the New Testament is, Jesus is Lord! He's already taken care of your sins. You come to him and you're in him. You know, when Paul said, Lord, who are you, Lord? He was born again right there. He declared Jesus as Lord. Shortest salvation prayer ever prayed. Lord! But end of parentheses. That was just for your edification, exhortation, and comfort. What I'm talking about, this is how, writing these things down, this is how you find out who you really are in the Spirit. James says that the Word of God is the mirror of your spirit man. In fact, let's go there. Let's go to James chapter 1. I guess we're going on a little journey here. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, are you a hearer only, or are you a doer? Doer, that's good. For if any be a hearer and not a doer, he is like a man beholding himself in his natural face in a glass. That means a mirror. He's looking at his face in the mirror. This is just like if you see the word and you don't do it, it's like a guy looking in a mirror. Verse 24, and beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what he looks like. See, if you are a forgetful hearer, you're going to forget who you are in the Spirit, what you look like to God in the Spirit, what your spirit man is able to do, the abilities, the talents and the skills and the all of these things that come together, and a lot of them intertwine. There's fruit in you, there's gifts in you, and sometimes the fruit will overlap or intertwine with the gifts. It says that happened in Jesus' ministry. He says he was overwhelmed with compassion and healed them. Oh, the gifts of healing. And miracles happen when he had compassion. And all those things are in you. When you read through the Gospels and you read all about Jesus, and you start meditating on that, and you start seeing how he reacted, how he responded, how he spoke, how he took initiative, how he did this and that and the other thing, how miracles were wrought, how he was protected when they wanted to stone him. How all of these different things that what you're doing is the Holy Spirit, as you're reading that and meditating on that and filtering your days through that meditation, it's drawing a picture of who you really are in the Spirit. Because as he is, so are you in this world, the Bible says. 1 John 4:17. Write that down. That's a big one. Take that. God spoke that just as much as he did John 3:16. And he says, you are like me. As he is. And listen to this. As he is now, as a risen Christ, so are you in this world. You have the resurrection power on the inside of you. So stay in the Word. And when you get these little flashes of revelation or flashes of joy or flashes of peace or a breakthrough in your life or a sudden understanding of something that you've wanted to know for years, it all of a sudden, wow, write that down. Start journaling it and start taking, do it in your notes if you dare, on your phone. A lot of times it's better if you write it by hand. I do it in my phone now, because I got an account that they can't take away from me. And you can really get a good understanding, and you're giving the Holy Spirit an invitation to come in and say, hey, want some help with that? He is your helper. He's not your do-it-for-you-er. He is your helper. The Spirit also helps our infirmity, for as we know, as we know not how we should pray as we ought, the Spirit prays for us. And that's for us means for us, through us, in us, and so forth. So he's there to teach us and guide us. Yes, he prays for you. But he's not going to force his will on you, and he's not going to, you need to help. It says the Spirit helps. You know that word help? Is a long string of like four Greek words compounded together. Anti tsunami lombano. And it's a big word. And it means, here's what it means. The Spirit helps our infirmity. The Spirit takes hold together with us against our infirmity. For when we know, he takes hold with us against our infirmity. You need to take hold of him against your infirmity, and he needs to take hold with you against it. And you are a power team that can't be defeated. I hope you got something out of that. I know I certainly did. It gave me a jolt. Look at this. I was going to read something that came to me the other day. That when we're looking through the Bible, it shows us exactly who we are, what we have, all we can do, and where we are seated, far above all principalities, powers that hate us. It tells us that we have been raised up far above them and seated with Jesus in heaven's authority. This is so that we can fight the good fight of faith here on the earth with the power that he gave us to fight with. I'm not saying your enemies are people. Your enemies are powers and principalities behind those people that are deceiving them and filling them with hatred and fear. It tells us that we've been raised up far above them and seated with Jesus in heaven's authority. This is how we fight the good fight of faith. This is how we do it, by realizing who we are, what we have, what we can do, and where we are seated. This way we won't be fighting for victory. We'll be fighting from the standpoint of the victory that he already won. He came and destroyed, it says he paralyzed the devil. Absolutely pulverized him, and paralyzed him. When it says he destroyed him that had the power of death, he destroyed, that word is really paralyzed. In fact, in the Rotherham's translation, it translates it that way. He paralyzed him. He didn't destroy him. Because, I mean, it's obvious he's still around, right? But, I mean, look at the world. I mean, God didn't do that. That's the devil who did all of that stuff. But he paralyzed him, and the only power that he really has now is the power to deceive. So he goes to the news media, and he starts filling them with lies. He goes to the politicians, start corrupting them, saying, do this, do this. Now they're busy corrupting and covering up their corruption, and it's a dirty snowball getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it takes a solid commitment to the Lord to just stand up in times like these and call wrong, wrong, and call right, right. Because they're calling good evil, and they're calling evil good. And it's getting very confusing for a lot of people. Look at this. Jesus, he won this victory for us, rose up triumphant over it, wrapped it up, gave it to us, all his victory, and made us joint heirs over all the spoils of it with him. So he's already co-signed on everything. All it needs is our signature. And what's that? That's the prayer of faith. That's walking in faith. That's walking in love when he says to love your enemies and do good to those who despitefully use you. How is that easy to do? Not on your flesh, but in your spirit, it's a cakewalk. There are things that the Holy Spirit teaches you, and in order to stir up the things that he's put in you, like joy. When Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, I really believe that we're supposed to let the world see a joy that they don't have. Amen. See a joy that, see, joy is a really beautiful witnessing tool. It's in your spirit, and you just got to let it out. I mean, if you look at some of these things, it's so easy to get offended at somebody who's lying and doing all this stuff. You see it on the news, right? And they're coming out, and it's just absolutely blatant falsehoods, blatant lies, and it's easy to get caught up and say, no, you can go, ha, 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 I'm sitting with him, I'm seated with him, and he who is in the heavens shall laugh. Because he sees their end, they're not going to do any good. But if we join in and get all offended at it, then we're empowering them over us, and then we get scared and shut our mouth, and we don't talk. We're the ones that need to talk. Amen. And when we speak the truth, it will shut them up. And when we speak the truth in love, it'll not only shut them up, but it'll put us in authority. It'll give us a voice of authority. Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 13, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. That means he'll reveal it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said unto you, he shall take of mine and show it to you. He shall take of mine and show it to you. He shall take of mine and show it to you. He shall take of mine. Everything that's mine, he'll show it to you. What are some of those things that Jesus has that the Holy Spirit's going to show? It's right in that verse. How does it start? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say, he shall take of mine, which is everything the Father has, and show it to you. He'll reveal it to you. He'll show you. How does that happen? Well, when you get that flash, something, you know the Spirit's talking to you. You know he's saying something. You just had a dream at night, and you just had a question about a scripture, and he starts to show it to, start writing it down. Give the Holy Spirit that entrance into your creative writing. And I mean, I have loads of writings. I have them on my computer. I have just write these things down. Most of those words of the week that I send out are just things that the Lord's, and I just start writing and they proliferate. And the Holy Spirit just says, go here. So I do. Then I'll say, well, what good does, that doesn't sound very good. And the Holy Spirit said, I don't care what you think. I'm saying something to somebody you know nothing about. Look, God knows everything that's going on. You know, here, let me get into some victories here. The joy of the Lord is our victory. And if you're in joy all the time, guess what? You're going to be expectant. You're going to be waiting for the Holy Spirit's voice. You're going to be ready to act on his Here's a, you know, we miss these things so often because many times they're not spectacular, these victories. You know what I mean? It's like you're waiting for something big to happen. There's victories happen right under your nose. Here, look at this. An answered prayer is a victory. An answered prayer is a victory. Praise God. Stay with it. Take that prayer that you're praying. You really want to see, know something, or you want to have an understanding. It says, in all you're getting, get understanding. This is how you get it. All right? You start writing. The Holy Spirit will help you. Victory. You know, it's too bad we're so fearful sometimes, because we're missing it. It's too bad that people, you know, and here's what happens. Like, and I noticed this Friday night too, when we're starting to pray, and I noticed that the devil was trying to confuse people, trying to discourage people as we were praying. This is what he does. And why a lot of people will start praying in tongues, and they say, I'm going to pray in tongues for 2 hours. And then 10 minutes later, they quit. Why is that? Well, as soon as you get into praying in tongues, the devil starts saying, bringing up stuff in your life and say, you think God's going to hear that? You're just a babbling thing. Why would he listen? Discouragement doesn't come from God. Discouragement comes from the devil. The thing is, he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. That word edify means it's an edifice that cannot be moved. You ever seen, you know, the Rock of Gibraltar is an edifice. Edifice. That's an edifice. You think anybody can move that? Mm-mm. It's staying there. Mount Everest. I mean, these things are edifices. First John 5:4 says this. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Stay in faith. And when you start get discouraged and the devil starts to come with darkness and start to throw a blanket over your tongues, double up. Pray louder in tongues. Kenneth Hagin did this one time. He said, I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour. And at the end of the hour, you know what the devil said to him? He said, you just wasted a whole hour. You could have been doing this, this, and another thing. You needed to be doing this. And he said, okay, Mr. Devil, just for that, I'm going to pray another hour in tongues. He said, that happened during and after every hour, the devil had something else discouraging to say. So at the end of the third hour, I said, well, I'm going to play another, and it takes 2 hours, whatever. I'm going to pray in tongues for another hour and see how much time I'm wasting, Mr. Devil. And after 4 hours of praying in tongues, he said, man, I struck oil. He said, I hit a gusher. And it just straightened all kinds of things out in his ministry. And he was a pastor at the time. In his ministry, it was just an amazing thing. He says, I struck oil. Why? Because he didn't listen to the devil. He listened to the Lord. Praise God. An answered prayer is a victory. Do you record those? Do you write those down? Those prayers that you're recording? Hitherto you have asked not. This is a wide open invitation. Hitherto, in verse 15, John chapter 16. All things that the Father has. Wait a second, I'm wrong. Verse 24, please. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be filled. Notice he didn't say, ask if it's my will. I'll tell you what's his will, that you ask in my name. That's his will. Amen. It's wide open. Look, if it's not his will, why would you ask it in the first place? You wouldn't want it. All right. Hitherto, you know, you can argue about the Word of God. And I came from the first church I went to, all they did was argue about doctrine and things like that. And if it's his will, why? You know, it's like they got themselves so confused. In the end, they would ask him nothing. Then I got filled with the Spirit and they booted me out. Because it's like you walk into this room and it's dark and people are crying. It's so dark in here. And you flip on the light and say, what are you guys doing? It's like that's the way that you are in the Holy Spirit. And you are sticking out like a sore thumb and actually like a healing thumb. And they don't want any part of it. They're scared of you. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit, when he comes into a church, he starts cleaning it up. And they don't want that sometimes. So, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full, that your joy may be full, that your joy... Why did he say this? So that your joy be full. Why did John, the Apostle John, write his entire first letter? 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. What does it say? And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. God wants your joy to be full. Why? Because you can't do anything without it. Without his, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It gives you endurance through the trial, through the test, through the temptation. It gives you all of it. Joy is your, the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, and I'm not talking about this Pollyanna type of stuff that oh, so good all the time. And I am just so fine and feeling so good. No, that's walking on air because it's all emotions. And you'll drop. At the first trial. You know, there's like these swamis, you know, we knew these guys. Well, I went to University of New Haven when I was younger. And we had these guys that they'd drop their mat, you know, at a certain time of the day, wherever they were, and they'd just, aloha. And it's like the thought occurred to me, and I was a Christian, I was saved, filled with the Spirit, and the thought occurred to me, what would happen if you go kick one of those guys in the shins? What would their reaction be? It was just a thought. And I didn't do it, obviously. I mean, but, you know, you got to wonder, when things go wrong for them, where do they go? What do they do? Do they have a real in-touch relationship with God? Do they have a revelation that tells them that they can go through this? Do they have a joy on the inside working for them so that they will have the strength to get through the next temptation or the next disappointment or the next trial? What does James say? James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various temptations. You need joy to get through temptation, don't you? When Jesus was looking at the cross, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, bearing the shame, despising the shame, with the joy. And he did it. And he did it. Why? Because he kept his joy full. He kept on praying. Prayer in the morning. Maybe he was writing down certain things that the Holy Spirit was telling him. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I can only guess that what he told us to do, he probably did himself. Write down the vision so that he who reads it may run with it. And when you read through your old writings, you can run with it, because you'll see patterns that led you to victory, that led you to breakthrough, that gave you an answer when you needed it. You know, sometimes a timely phone call from somebody is a victory. Maybe they have some information that you need. Just have a conversation. Listen to it. It may interrupt your day. Count it all joy. Engage them. They are people that Jesus loves. No matter what you're doing, this can't be as important as another. At the end of the day, Jesus loves people, and how you treat people, that's what counts to him. You know, that person, they may be able to connect you with somebody you've wanted to be connected with for a while. Who knows what happens? God knows everything, and he can put it all together for you. Joyful. Joyful. You know, a smile from someone that you've been at odds with for some time, that's a victory. That's a victory. A brother offended is harder to win than a city, it says. And if you get a smile from somebody like that, now that's when you need to get along with God. Smile back, get along with God and say, how do I pursue this? How do I follow up with this? What do I do? Give me wisdom and understanding here so that I know. And when it was, put your words in my mouth, do something. Prepare me for this so that when I see them, we can have a good friendship and a good understanding, and I can understand something about myself. Why was I at odds with that person? Why did I let him be at odds with me? Why didn't I go to him right away and say, is there something wrong? Did I do something? God will teach you a lot of things, but you got to be teachable. You know, it says to David, 1 Samuel 18, verse 14, says this, and David behaved himself wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw him, saw that he behaved himself wisely, he was afraid of him. When you behave yourself wisely, when you start paying attention to the Lord, and the Lord, you know, the presence of the Lord is with you, when you when you start getting some understanding and walking wisely in these things, people will let you be who you are. Now, King Saul, he was threatened by David. But for most people that we engage with, there's fellowship that's created. A divine connection. A divine connection is a victory. How many of you have had, I mean, there is something to be said if you read, and I've done like a partial study on this, I'm not ready to say, but divine connections is a real subject in the Bible. You know, Moses had Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he had, that was a divine connection. He taught him how to organize things so that there was delegated authority. So all of the work was not on Moses' shoulders to carry. He delegated that and meted it out based on people's talents to rule thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Divine connections are very valuable to the Lord. And we need to see those as victories. Divine connections. And it may be the most unlikely person you've ever. Lori and I have said this many times, and about really strong fellowship that we've had with people that in the natural, there would have been no reason for us to engage with them at all. But God led it, and it's a divine connection. Those are divine connections. A sudden glimpse into a truth that you've been wondering about suddenly makes sense and reveals other truths to you. That's a victory. The joy of the Lord. But you, if you're not in the joy of the Lord, these things will go right up, right past you, and you'll miss them. You'll miss the opportunity. Joy prepares you for a lot of things, prepares you for victory. It prepares you for that untimely phone call. It prepares other people. It goes before you, and other people would be prepared. And it will enable you to give a soft answer in a time of wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. Joy. I mean, people complain about being lonely. Why would they want to be with somebody who's not joyful, who's a sad sack and always complaining about everything? I mean, the world doesn't even want that, let alone Christians. So be ready. This is what, be more ready to give than to receive. And give joy where it's needed. Give encouragement where it's needed. Give light where there's darkness. Give understanding, not like a know-it-all, but saying, you know what? I had that question too. And God showed me this. Maybe this will help you. That's a way to do it. Joy. Joy of the Lord. You know, Friday night, there was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful tribute to a man by his daughter. And it was the sweetest, most beautiful tribute that Lori and I have ever heard a daughter give her father. Emma, that was absolutely beautiful. You did. And you brought honor. You brought honor to him. And, you know, now that you say that, that's the only commandment in the Bible that has a promise with it, that things go well with you and you will live long in the earth. Praise God. You want to play it?
Sure.
Let's play it. Steve has it. It is nimble little knuckles right there. Let me get out of it.
5 season comes to an end. Good night.
Tonight, right on.
It means the world to me. I'm gonna put my phone down. Dear Dad, as I'm standing here today with a heart full of love and gratitude for a man that means the world to me. Writing this letter was tricky because I caught myself at a lack of words. Thanks, I can't see.
I need these two.
Writing this letter was tricky because I caught myself at a lack of words of what to say or how to say them. Not that I don't have anything to say. But no words, no matter how I put them, or what I could say. Sorry. No words, no matter how I put them, or what I could say, could describe what kind of man Dave Pelkey is. Not only are you an amazing father, but a person in itself. You're a man of not many words, but your character speaks for itself. In Corinthians 13:4. 4-7, it states, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, and always perseveres. As you have guided me through life's twists and turns, your kindness and gentle light has brightened even the darkest days. Every word you have spoken to me was a seed planted into my mind and into my heart. They slowly sprouted each day and each year. Maybe there were some things I never used to understand when I was younger, but as I got older, all the speeches and lectures you would give me or roll my eyes at. Or maybe that I didn't want to listen to became so beautiful to me. Because as I realized those seeds you planted in my mind and my heart would sprout and help me become the woman I am today, as I am still learning. There are many gates that you will walk through in life and many adventures and many ups and downs, but I am honored today to be able to say proudly, you were by my side through each gate I entered, or with me behind any door I had to close. I admire the kind of person you are. You so effortlessly give so much that you would rather wear the same shoes for years, but see me with the new shirt every few weeks. You are the most consistent, most hardworking, honorable man. I hope one day my children can see me as I see you. I hope to be able to touch hearts as you touch hearts one day. Anyone can be a dad, but it takes a lot to be a father. In my eyes, you break that skill. I love you, Pops.
And with that, the 2025 season comes to an end. Good night.
How's that for a service and for a wonderful family church that we are? Amen. Oh, praise God.